Thank you for listening to this talk produced by the Art Gallery of South Australia.
Okay, yes, that's working. All right, let me start again. So my name's Maria Zagala. I'm the Associate Curator of Prints, Drawings and Photographs here at the Art Gallery of South Australia. And it's my great pleasure to be giving a lunchtime talk today on the work of Hans Heisen. So I wanted to begin by acknowledging that we're meeting today on the unceded lands of the Kaurna people, and I wanted to pay my respects to their elders, past, present and emerging. And this afternoon's talk is part of the public programs for the exhibition, the 18th Biennial of Australian Art, called Inner Sanctum, curated by Jose da Silva, the director of the UNSW Galleries in Sydney. And each 2 years, the gallery hosts this remarkable contemporary art exhibition of Australian art, and in 2024, Jose da Silva has curated Inner Sanctum. And so I'm speaking today on the work of Hans Heisen, an artist who lived 100 years ago and more, within the context of this contemporary art exhibition. So I wanted to foreground that before I start speaking about the work of Hans Heisen. Now, Hans Heisen is an artist who is really well known to many of us who live in South Australia, and he is also well known around Australia and in Australian art history. He's one of those figures that has really defined our discipline, the art history discipline, in how it considers and thinks about the Australian landscape as a subject in art. And of course, he has influenced all of our collective understandings of how we think even about the landscape if we have come into contact with his art. He is such a giant, really, in the way that his imagination and his conception of nature and art were fused in his remarkable paintings and drawings and prints. And really, to live here, to know the landscape of especially the Adelaide Hills, is to also in some way be thinking and referencing Hans Heisen in our own minds. So I was very interested in the curator Jose da Silva's fascination with Hans Heisen, because when he curated this very large exhibition, which takes this entire floor and the entire downstairs temporary exhibition spaces, he selected only a few collection works from the gallery's collection to place within this exhibition. And amongst them are these three monotypes by Hans Heisen that date to around 1904, 1905. So what was it about these works that drew Jose? And I'll turn to his catalogue and his very beautiful writing in his essay that accompanied the book for this exhibition to bring a little bit of a context for what he thinks when he thinks of the term inner sanctum, and also why these works provide something of that. So he writes, "Inner sanctum evokes the private, protected or sacred spaces we create in our homes and communities as a refuge and sanctuary, as well as the faculty of imagination, which allows us to see culture and society differently. The inner sanctum represents gestures of retreat, introspection and spiritual or philosophical contemplation." And I think that Jose was very right to identify in Hans Heysen's work something of the inner sanctum, of this sense of the private and the protected, the sacred. And in fact, he was so, struck by Hans Heysen's work that he has divided his exhibition into series of chapters, if you will. And this chapter in this room is called The River Path. And The River Path is the title of one of these prints. And I have to say that Jose's choice is rather unconventional, because although Hans Heysen is a great and a giant for us here in South Australia and a great artist who is well known, his reputation has been so major, the artist's prints are not well known. And in fact, he made relatively few. So the gallery has a remarkable collection of Hans Heysen's works, over 2,100 in the collection. 2,000 of those are drawings, 100 or so are paintings, or 60 are paintings, and the rest are prints. So it's relatively a small production of prints by the artist. We know that he was interested in making monotypes, which is what these prints are, in a short period of time, only around 1904 to 1905. And they really are not widely collected. So to begin with, I guess it's worth saying something about what this technique is. So monotype, amongst all the printmaking techniques, is itself relatively under-practiced. There are not many people who make monotypes, and the technique has got a few famous makers. For example, Edgar Degas, the French artist, made wonderful monotypes, as did the French artist Camille Pissarro. And I think that it's possible that Hans Heysen saw monotypes when he was studying in Europe. So Hans Heysen was born in Germany in 1877 and migrated to South Australia with his family as a seven-year-old. And then in his early 20s, he travelled to Europe and studied there for 4 years. And his studies were financed by four businessmen in Adelaide who saw his potential. And they made a deal with him. They would pay for his studies in Paris and other cities, his travels to Italy, to enable him to immerse himself in the great traditions of European paintings. And they would have all of his works that he produced over there. I figure that's quite a hard bargain. But Hans Heysen saw that it would enable him, someone of modest means, his father was sold produce and he had worked in the family produce business. He really didn't have options, and this was an excellent way for him to make his way into the world, to the heart of the European art world in Paris. In late 1899, 1900, 1901, 1902. And those critical years as a young man, he studied and really, I think, absorbed the incredible influence of especially French painting. And he was really influenced by academic realism and Impressionism, and those movements, those approaches to the valuing of representation that was faithful to nature, really imbued and was remarkably important to Hans as an artist throughout his life. And in those 4 years, he also drew and worked on drawing. That was his primary education. So he had attended life drawing classes in Adelaide. He had done trips up to the Adelaide Hills to draw the landscape there en plein air. But it was really through these 4 years of really tough education of drawing and it formed the bedrock of all of his art. And the 2,000 drawings that the gallery holds by Hans Heysen are a really incredible insight into his intelligence, into his touch, into the way that he approached composition and subjects and media. And he worked in pencil, charcoal, red crayon, Conte. He was very, I would say, almost a restless drawer. And you have a sense in his works on paper, the hunger of his gaze and his desire to feed what he saw onto the page. And so it wasn't tentative. His drawings are not tentative. And this really comfortable assurance of his line, his remarkable confidence and sense of almost exhalation in his work, I think gives you a sense of him being at one and entirely present when he was working. And so this incredible loop of the looking, the gaze, the ability to process that and make a mark on the paper, use shade if he needed it to create this sense of tone and build an image that was pleasing, that was responsive to what he was seeing, that really brought to life his what he saw, his vision. And it's this capacity for the technical facility, which was not deadened by a kind of faithfulness to nature without the imagination. So there was an interesting fusing happening in his work, which made it incredibly alive. And this sort of spark, and I'm talking specifically about his student years and early years, and these works belong to his 20s, you have this sense of this aliveness. And his belief in drawing as the main principle through which all problems were solved, artistic problems were solved, fed into then his paintings. And as I say, he experimented with printmaking too. And so these works are, I think, they were an experiment that belonged to this moment when he returned from 4 years abroad. And he arrived back in Adelaide and he set up a studio, he set up art classes, and he had this extremely important and really pivotal year in 1904. A lot happened for him. He was absorbing all the lessons of his travels. He was back in his hometown and he was standing on his own feet, really, having already had the recognition an investment of others in him, and he was ready to realise his potential. And these beautiful monotypes come at this moment. He had an exhibition when he first arrived back in Adelaide in 1904 and another one in early or mid-1905. And those two exhibitions really presented many of the works that he had made on his travels and during his studies. So his beautiful paintings and drawings of Venice and the French countryside. And if you read the titles of his exhibition catalogues from those two exhibitions, you see that he is returning to drawings that he made at that time and reworking them in this new medium of monotype. So monotypes he must have made on, I think, a steel plate. And so that steel plate was about that size. We know this because on some of his prints you see an indentation. So you see that he has covered that print, that steel plate with ink, and then he has wiped away at the surface and then placed a piece of paper over it and put it through a press and taken that impression. And that impression is a single impression, and that is why it is called a mono print. So unlike etching and other printmaking media, which can give you hundreds of impressions, a monotype will only yield one or perhaps two. That second one will be ghostly and very light. But when you look at this work, you see that it has this absolutely remarkable richness. This brown ink, it is a field of alive dapples of light and shade. And he has worked into it, into that ink on that plate with a sharp tool and managed to describe leaves and the texture of the trunk of these trees by the pool. The river path, these works are probably of Karawirapuri, the Torrens, and so they represent that body, that river, only a few hundred metres from here. And this sense of the secluded and the very private, enclosed space that he has made in these prints is completely depeopled. So there is no person here in these works. In some ways, I feel that his decision to not include people in these intimate scenes allows us, the viewer, to project ourselves into this scene. And it is actually as realistic as they are in describing a path, a river, a tree, light. They also are describing perhaps a state of mind. And that state of mind is peaceful. There is a sense of real calmness, of a sense of certainty. It is not a threatened or a uncertain space. And this year, 1904, as I say, was pivotal for the artist because in December of 1904 he married and Selma Bartels. And we know that the morning after his wedding, he was making more monotypes from a letter. And we know that he experienced his first major success as an artist with his painting, The Coming Home, bought by the Art Gallery of New South Wales. And in the same year, Mystic Morn, bought by the Art Gallery of South Australia. And that painting, which hangs in Gallery 3 in the Elder Wing, it's on permanent display. And I walked by it this morning as I was preparing for this talk, and I just thought that painting, again, has, like these prints, a feeling of peace. And I think technically it shares the sense of the complete or all of the marks covering the entire canvas, that the field of marks takes over the entire space of that canvas. Like these prints, there is really no sense of a horizon line, something beyond. You are totally enclosed in an inner sanctum. So this incredible success, financial success and recognition by two state galleries really propelled Hans Heisen and his career. And of course he's an artist that now, you know, with the vantage point of time and success and, you know, remarkable popularity, it's maybe hard to see the hardships that he may have confronted in his lifetime. But, of course, there would have been incredibly difficult years. And even around this time in his late 20s when he's, you know, finding early success, it really wasn't until 1912 that he was in a financial position to be able to buy a comfortable house, and that house is the Cedars in Harndorf, which is now a beautiful museum, a space where you can visit a studio where he worked and see his works and his daughter's works, Nora Heisen, in situ. And of course, in 1917, after the First World War broke out, it was a time of incredible tension. And when I think about this exhibition, which of course is taking place at a time of global insecurity and climate insecurity, Hans's world was also very affected by global tensions and war. And for him as an artist, he and his German birth was a cause of great tension and discrimination in his time. And in fact, he did not lend works to an exhibition in Sydney, or rather he was asked not to submit works to an exhibition in Sydney because his birth was considered, or his ethnicity meant that he may not be loyal to Australia at that time. They termed it persons of enemy origins. And of course, he and his family were placed under surveillance by the Mount Barker police following anonymous accusations of disloyalty. So if you considered that, here was someone who really had to fight for his place and had to contend with, you know, very damaging attitudes. He was, however, very active and supported by many in the art world and beyond. And I was really pleased to read that when in 1940 he was appointed to the board here at the Art Gallery, which was then called the National Gallery of South Australia, and he served as its member until his death in 1968. So from 1940 to 1968, the longest serving member of a board here. So on that note, I may end today's talk. Does anyone have any questions? So the question is whether this is in fact Karawirrapurri, the Torrens River, or somewhere else. Yes, because the photographs from the time show that that area was really denuded of trees, and that's really fascinating. And so it is absolutely possible that it was at another part of the river, and it's also possible that it's an amalgamation of one view and another, because as I say, I mean, he worked to truth in nature, but also of course embellished it, as all artists do. Yeah. Well, thank you for your attention today.